And good afternoon, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis. Patty Fink is off this weekend and is probably going to be off most of the month. She's busy taking care of Aaron's father.
Yep.
Our guest today, you know him from Will and Grace, American Horror Story, The Help, Sordid Lives, Southern Baptist Sissies, and you might know him just from being around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of his many Dallas appearances over the years.
From Alley in Dallas.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and especially if you're like an 18-year-old.
Shut up.
I would never say that. This is going out broadcast. Over the last few years, though, seriously, Leslie has raised tens of thousands of dollars for Legacy Counseling Center, and he'll be back this fall to raise a lot more. He's here tonight to appear at the Brick. How much are tickets at the Brick tonight? $20 at the door, I think. We're not sure exactly. Doors open at 7. Leslie goes on at 9. Should be a lot of fun because Leslie Jordan is always a lot of fun. Thank you for coming.
Always.
Thank you so much.
I know you raced stuff from Austin early in order to be on the show today, and thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
What were you doing in Austin last night?
I appeared at a place called Bout Time. It was the first time they'd actually had sort of live performances, and queers hanging from the trees. We crammed, I bet, the 300 people in there. We had such a good time.
Oh, it's going to be packed at the Brick tonight, too. So if you don't get to the Brick tonight, you still want to see Leslie. He's appearing at the Majestic Theater downtown on November 21st. It benefits Legacy Counseling Center. David Andrews is here, who's helping put that together. David, tickets are selling fast.
Yeah, we just opened the third area, though.
And they just opened the second balcony.
Wow.
In the theater, which never gets opened in that theater. So,
and which is such it's worth a ticket just to see the theater.
It's a great theater.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Forget about me.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful theater.
You're quite a busy man.
It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. You know, it started in, here, I'll slip this in fast. I won an Emmy in 2006.
I'm sorry.
Not even on the air for 5 minutes.
Missed that.
No.
I said, Will and you won the Emmy.
But here's what happened was, I thought, well, you know, I've been at this for about 20 years. I've got this big award. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to wait for it to come to me. Well, I waited. Nothing. I called my manager. I said, I can't eat this Emmy. And the best thing that could ever happen to me was that door closing of me thinking things. And we met with my current book. It's a Reaction Marketing out of Palm Springs. They do everything from Warner Brothers to Fandango and Leslie Jordan. And I said, market me. Well, I'm up to, 44 venues. I go, gay prides, I do gay cruises, everything you can think of.
Well, and you had your show on Broadway.
Off-Broadway. It was right, they said kind of Broadway, but you had to stand on 46th, well, they actually told me Times Square, but you had to stand on 46th Street and look way down and right past the TGI Friday awning was Times Square. So it was. And, you know, I learned when I was there that Broadway, I just thought there was a street. That's where they all are. It's
no,
the size
of
houses.
Yeah. Right, right.
See, off Broadway is 99 seats or less. That's off. If you want to call yourself off Broadway, 100 seats to 499. Mm-hmm. And then 500 above is a Broadway house.
Right.
So we, you know, the good news was Lily Tomlin produced it.
Oh.
Lily,
love her.
How about that for New York?
Tell
Lily Tomlin, Jane Wagner present.
Mm.
So it happened. She came to. I had done an ill-fated pilot with her. No, it never saw the light of day. We thought we were just hilarious. Lily and I were like a couple of old vaudevillians, and it called 12 Miles of Bad Road, and Linda Bloodworth Thomason wrote it. But anyway, okay, where are we?
So you've been successful in TV, film, stage. Which do you like doing best?
Probably like Will and Grace, because that's the best of both. We shoot in front of a live audience.
It's true.
And so you have that immediate feedback, but you're also in front of a camera, which I love. So I guess, but you know, I think my favorite is whatever I'm currently doing. Whatever pays the bills, right?
To just enjoy what you're doing, and that's the best thing I've ever done.
And to get paid, and to get paid for making people laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that.
And TV shows are pretty, like, it's like a 9-to-5 job. It's Monday through Friday, right?
Oh, listen, I'll tell you I shouldn't say worse, because you get paid so well, are those, like, American Horror Story, which, not for me, because I did 5 episodes, but for someone like Jessica Lange, you're talking 12-hour days, 5 to 6 days a week, nonstop. It's it's grueling. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, I remember, before Desperate Housewives, Terry Hatcher, I was on that show called Superman. What was that called? Lois and Clark.
Yes.
Well, when you are either Lois and Clark and you're the star that you're in almost every single shot, and you'd hear them complaining, and at the time I wanted to say, listen, you know, $1 million a week or whatever you're making, but you have no life, none.
Right.
14 hours a day, rarely go into Saturday, but still, you know, nonstop.
Yeah, yeah. And then when the season's over, you just collapse, so it's not like, oh, you're only working this number of weeks. You're too tired to do anything for a while.
But I learned a big lesson. I called a dear friend of mine that never doesn't work that much in L.A. He's in the same occupation I am. And I said, I'm exhausted. I said, I did a gay cruise from Barcelona to Casablanca. Then they flew me to New York. And there was this dead silence. He said, F you. I know what you're saying. Right. Like, what? And I said, I can't get you. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I have no idea what he's saying.
I have no idea, what happened was I sat there and I thought, okay, you got me. Mm-hmm. We got it perspective here. Right. No one feels sorry for you.
Because you had to do that cruise. You were all over Europe, poor thing, and then had to go back to New York. You come to Dallas a lot, though.
I love Dallas, but my heart is in Fort Worth. And because many years ago, Rose Pearson, who has that wonderful theater down in Sundance Square, called Dale Shores. I don't know how she heard about this and said, you have a play that's running in L.A. called Sordid Lives that I'm interested in. This is before the movie or anything. Dale Shores said to me, do you want to go to Fort Worth, Texas in July? I said, I'd rather get beat with a stick. Why would I go? I know what.
Well, Dale's from here, like, so why would he?
So you had never been to Fort Worth prior to this?
No, but I knew Texas. I knew that heat. I grew up in Tennessee. I said, well, what will they pay? He said, it's a tiny theater, and you'd play Brother Boy, but they could would you like to direct? I said, So we came out here. Dale is the writer, me is the director. And we did Sordid Lives, and the rest was history. And over the years, I've lost touch with Rose Pearson. If you're listening, I love you dearly. And then I started coming back every summer for different things, my own show, and then the Casa Mañana for this and that. And I fell in love with Fort Worth, Texas. I would stay at the Worthington Hotel when it was owned by the Basses. And Miss Theta, who was a legend, I'm sure she's long gone, was the concierge. And I lamented her one day. She said, do you like living in California? And I said, no, ma'am, because I can't find butter beans. She said, oh. The next day, a silver tray of butter beans arrived. And I've been staying ever since.
Nice.
Isn't that amazing how one person just doing something for you, what a difference it makes? What is it that you come here for then? You come here to do all of your fundraisers for Legacy. You have the show tonight, but you don't go to places like Houston, do you?
Oh, lots.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, that's just David.
Go Austin, Houston. I go wherever there's a buck involved. The biggest whore in Hollywood.
I hope you make them pay
$100 a day and a square meal. You got me. No, but you know what happened with Fort Worth is that it became my secret place because when I just wanted, and I would do it at Christmas, people would say, well, don't you want to be with your family? And I would fly on Christmas Day. I did it for almost 10 years. I would fly into Fort Worth and check into the Worthington and not leave till 2 days after New Year's Eve and never do a thing but walk Sundance Square, relax, reflect on the next year, write, You know, it's a wonderful place to write. And it's where I was complete. I haven't done it in years, but I was just left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And that was my...
It's nice to find a place like that.
Where you can just truly get away.
So... We just brought in Leslie's tea from Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know where this is going.
You do. And so Leslie has been in the news recently about Starbucks. You want to share that with us?
I was sitting in West Hollywood, where I've lived for 33 years. People said, don't you like New York? No. I'm a West Hollywood boy. I got there in 1982 from a very repressed Southern Baptist upbringing. There were queers hanging from the trees, and I was home. And people have said, I attribute any success I've had to that. People come to Hollywood and say, oh, I'm going to give it 5 years. And not me. What am I going to do? I was home. I was in Hollywood. I just have slowly built this career. But back to here I was, sitting in my Starbucks, in the gayest city in the whole world.
Yep.
And I noticed these three guys came in, and I thought, they're cracked out. They're on something. 9 a.m. And, I thought, this is going to be trouble. Two of them had their bicycles, which was a kind of intimidating because they were loud. And one of them said, oh, there's a lot of faggots in here. Well, we thought, uh-uh. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole place kind of stuck. They were trying to pass off gift cards. They wanted the cash back. The manager told me later it was coming back from a stolen credit card anyway, and I gave them a break. I said, out. They wanted cash. Well, you can't get cash from a gift card. And all of a sudden, well, if you faggot, blah, blah. Awful language. And everybody was just kind of shaking. And all of a sudden, here I came. Well, actually what happened, they said, you a faggot, you over there, you a old faggot. What? I came from who's old?
So it wasn't the F word, it was
no.
It was the old part. The old part. Okay. As long as we're clear here.
No, I'm with you on that, Leslie.
You need to shut up and get out of here, not in my house. And not in our neighborhood. So they went outside. I said to my friend, what's alarming about this is that these are not straight boys. You know what I see? Our disenfranchised, gay sort of street youth. West Hollywood was the gay neighborhood. It was a gay ghetto from 82 on. It's not now. It is fancy and puff, and here we all are, look where we are. And these kids, that's what I saw. Now, maybe that's not true. But I said to my friend, Brad, I'm going to go talk to them because they shouldn't be there. He said, no. Well, I walked out the door, and they came at me, and they're calling me names, and I threw my tea right in his face. 10 cop cars, pandemonium, mayhem, and here comes TMZ.
And that's what I was going to say. Now, everybody knows Leslie from Will and Grace, you know, his shows, Sorted Lives. But you made TMZ. I'm thought, okay, you have arrived. When you make it on TMZ, you have arrived.
Here's the crazy part. I've had 5 auditions. It's almost like, I thought he was dead. Let's bring him in. Any kind of publicity. And then my dear friend, Ronnie Claire Edwards, who played Cora Beth on The Waltons, retired, bought her a church downtown L.A. and gutted it and lives in this beautiful old church. I was telling her the whole story, and she said, here, you're passing up an opportunity. You got 5 auditions. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, find those boys. And I said, wait, they're in jail. Here's what happened. I got on a plane the next day to go up to Seattle to do a gay cruise to Alaska. While I was gone, those dumb boys tried it again and got arrested this time. That was just a minor freight, these colonist names. They were passing these cards. Ronnie Claire said, listen, then find lookalikes. She said, go to...
Are you serious?
You can find and reenact that scene, you'll be a star.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Any press is good press.
Any publicity, and that is the of the, that's the, they used to tell me years ago, my manager said, Leslie, you have no presence on the web. I said, I don't know what you mean. I had no idea. He said, you need to be, it was not Facebook then, it was MySpace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I tried it, and people that were mean to me in high school wanted to be, I want to say, you called me Smear the Queer and hit me with a dodgeball. Now you want to be on my friend? No. So I didn't want to do it anymore. But I started doing this Facebook. Mm-hmm. My goodness. When that happened at Starbucks, oh, God, hundreds of thousands of things, isn't that? I can now pretty much say on Facebook, kids, I'm going to be in, you know, Nashville next week. Bam, sell out. Mm-hmm. The power of the social media.
It is amazing. It's amazing. That's our listenership has gone through the roof since we started posting every week.
Isn't
who's on the
something?
Show? Yeah, yeah, it really is. Gonna take our break because we're at a breaking point. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis. The late Patty Fink is extremely late today. She's our co-host, Leslie. She's always late. She's not dead. People ask us.
Is she in a ball?
No, no, no. She's just late.
The late Patty Fink. Is her real name Fink?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
When she dies, she's agreed. She's arranged that she's going to be 30 minutes late to the funeral. And she'll be known as the dead Patty Fink.
Or Rat Fink. Or, you have to be my age to even remember that.
And I am.
Okay.
And I can say it. Lauren, don't even listen to that. I can say that to Leslie. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Kimberly Truex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis. Our guest is Leslie Jordan. We're just talking about stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, just fine. Stuff. It's Sunday afternoon. It's Labor Day weekend, and so we're just chatting.
Hey, let's clear up another rumor that we get from the Internet. You were not born in Memphis.
Nope.
You're from Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. Tennessee's a long, long state. I had never even really been Memphis, 9 hours away. I didn't know where that was. Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm leaving to go see my mother, who I bought her the greatest thing I ever did as an adult, a beautiful condominium. Hmm. My sister said it looks like Laura Ashley threw up in there. It's so adorable. And I'm going to see her, and she's decided, because I'm opening in Nashville next week, she'd like to go with me, and my show can get a bit blue. So I said, Mommy, you can't come to my show. She said, well, no, but you want Race to talk like that. And
she's never seen you live?
One time.
Did you regret her coming?
Yeah, sorry, I did. Now, she is very proud of me. There's a wonderful comedian here that does Sister Helen Holy.
Mm-hmm. Paul.
Paul.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, Paul, and I want to cruise together, and they do sort of an awful, when you do your show, they just put a stationary camera,
mm-hmm.
and you're way down there, and then they'll run it on TV, and people can see the show, but it's not professionally produced. It looks awful. My mother, in that cruise, when I went to Barcelona, I took my mother with me. She said, well, I finally saw your show. And I said, I hadn't done it yet. She said, well, it was on TV. My sisters and I finally figured out my mother watched Paul J. Williams' entire show thinking it was her son.
Paul in a dress. Paul
no, he used to do this. He didn't do Sister Helen, no.
Oh, okay.
Which I think my mother would love.
Uh-huh.
I've regaled to her some of his lines, the best one being he always wanted to be a Methodist because Methodists are Baptists who like to drink, but they're not rich enough to be Episcopalians, which I think is a brilliant line. And I've told my mother some of those lines, and she just hollers and screams. But she watched his entire show, and he's a lot cleaner than me, so I just let her think that.
That works. Yeah, I'm talking about your mom, Chris Martin texted me a couple of questions. At one time, you talked about writing a cookbook with some of your mama's recipes. Are you still planning to do that?
I don't know. You know, I wrote my book, and I was so proud of it. Mm-hmm. It was Simon & Schuster and La 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 and on and on. And then I went back to ask them about a sequel because mm-hmm. I loved the writing life. I loved that, getting paid a little money, and then you go somewhere. And they said, well, Mr. Jordan, it's hard to sell a sequel when the first one underperforms. I said, I sold 5,500 books. They said, Tori Spelling sells 7,500 in a day. I said, well, good for Tori. Good for Tori. So, you know, I'm at a point in my life, if I'm going to do something, it's got to be set. There's got to be money involved. It wasn't so much my mother's recipes. It was her mother, Mary Lucille, who on her deathbed, my mother decided we're going to write them all down and got me a little Red Chief tablet or something. Mm-hmm. Poor little Mary Lucille was lying there, wanted to watch her stories. And mother came in and said, Mom, about your biscuits. She said, we're going to write it down, Mama. She said, Piggy Ann, you get your flour. And my mother said, now how much flour, Mama? She said, you make a nest. And my mother said, well, I can't write that down. I said, I know what she means, because out of, my mother's the baby of nine, hundreds of grandkids, I was the only one that stood by Mary Lucille for her biscuits, her peach fried pies, right out of the orchard. So I said, I know what she means. And then my grandmother said, then you get your shortening. And mother said, how much, brother? And that little hand went up, and she put her fingers near just this much, meaning you scoop. And mother said, well, this is hopeless. So we never got them down. But then I read a cookbook by Fanny Flagg. When she was doing the movie of Fried Green Tomatoes, she went all around South Alabama and collected recipes. And every one of my grandmother's recipes were in there. So I thought, well, I've been beat to the punch.
Oh, wow.
And Fanny had stories, just like I wanted to do, for every recipe.
Okay, another question that came in by text message from all the way across the room. Ask Leslie about his mom at the ruling of SCOTUS, the Supreme Court ruling. And she wasn't delighted, was she?
Oh, no.
Oh, she was.
No, listen.
Oh, okay.
When I was about 13, I told my mother I thought that I was homosexual, and I don't think she even knew what I meant. I mean, and then when she realized, I think this would have been 1968, so this would have been, her idea was maybe the Center Square, the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, Paul Lynn,
yeah. Or Charles Nelson Reilly, or, and my mother sat there very quiet, and you would think that she would say something from the Bible. She's very, you know, she's a devout Christian. Not a word. She said, Leslie, I'm so afraid that you'll be ridiculed, and I couldn't bear for you to be unhappy. So, I think you should just live a very quiet life.
You took that.
33 years.
Like, you've done anything but the sort.
But the day the decision came down, I'm in my own little world anyway. And see, on the West Coast, it came in at 7 a.m., but I wasn't on the West Coast. I was in Lexington, Kentucky, which is in a Starbucks, minding my own business. My phone rang and my sister said, Leslie, have you seen the news? Now, this is my huge fear, that an earthquake is going to hit when I'm not in L.A. I'm going to lose my stuff. I got a lot of pretty stuff. And I don't know why that hit me. I thought, oh, L.A.'s gone. And I said, what? She said, no, wait, Mama wants to tell you. I'm going to cry. And this little voice, I said, Mama, she said, they say you won.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That is.
And we did.
We did.
We just won.
We really did.
It's that simple. And, you know, it's so interesting now. Her journey, as well as my journey, into some sort of acceptance. And I don't think it has anything to do. She just wants her babies to be happy.
You know, one of the things they say is, the one reason to come out is for acceptance of everybody. If you know somebody who's gay, you can't hate them if you already love them.
Put a face on it.
Yeah.
You come from a large family. Are you the only one that you know of? Any gay relatives?
Oh, no. I hadn't thought about that. I don't think so. You know, mother was the baby of nine, and, oh, my gosh, we just grew up with so many kids. I don't think so. I think I'm the only one. I think they're very proud of me now. You know,
right. After your let me say it, Emmy Award.
Right.
No, after the checks started coming.
Right, right.
They need them.
Right.
Because my mother has said before, well, you know, I heard that you said something nasty, and I said, bought you a condo. Bought you a condo, she said. Well, that's awful.
It's too funny.
So that when sofa, did you... That sofa? Tonight's performance.
Right, right.
At a gay bar in Dallas.
So what took you from Chattanooga all the way to L.A.?
Oh, you know, I used to... I don't know if a lot of people know this. For the... From 19 to about 28, I exercised racehorses. I rode my whole life. I was much closer than I am now. This was the 70s. I looked like a porn star. I had a big mustache.
Oh, somebody please post those pictures.
It's in the book. But I decided at about 27, I just couldn't do it. It was so nomadic. We went from Belmont Park in New York to Miami. I lived on the road, which I do now, but in fancy hotels. Anyway, so back, I ended up back in Chattanooga, and I was going to take journalism classes. So I went back at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and all my friends said, you need to get your arts elective out of the way. Take that intro to theater class. It's easy. And I went in, and we did. I think I was in maybe a play in high school. I can't remember. I had no – I've always been funny. Mm-hmm. But it was to keep the bullies at bay. And all of a sudden, we're doing these improvisations, and people are laughing, and it just hit me like a drug. I went that afternoon to my mentor, Dr. Fred Barringer, and I said, what do I want so badly to do this? He said, well, now, first of all, let's learn to pronounce it. It's not theater. I want to be in the theater. He said, it's theater. That was the first thing. And then I got a degree. And I thought, I either got to go to New York or L.A. I was very adventuresome, and I thought, if I'm going to starve, I'm going to starve with a tan. And I got on a Greyhound. It wasn't even Greyhound. It was Trailways bus. $1,200 that mother sewed into my underpants. And I, it would be 1982, Valentine's Day. I stepped off a bus at Hollywood and Vine with a suitcase and dreams.
Wow. Lana Turner.
Wow. There you go.
Lana Turner.
But now let's also remember from that to winning the Emmy is
it's a lot of work.
To 2006. So dreams.
But I looked up your list of credits. You started appearing on situation comedies pretty quickly. It was like mid-80s that you started appearing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but the first 5 years I was there, I met a lady named Carolyn Berry who passed away a few weeks ago. It was very shocking. She said to me, you're a commercial goldmind. And I said, what do you mean, TV commercials? No, I want to be in the movies. She said, but you got to get in the union. You've got to get an agent. And so I started taking commercial audition classes. And within 9 months, I had 8 national television commercials.
That's awesome.
You know, I was going to ask you, that's what you lived on. I was going to say, I can see you performing. I could see you always wanting to perform. I can't see you doing what most actors do and being a waitress.
I waited tables. That's how I got that $1,200 to go to California. Mm-hmm. So I waited tables. I got on a tear on the internet the other day because some people ran up a bill of $116. Mm-hmm. And wrote in the tip section, LOL, mm-hmm. Our food was an hour late. And so the waitress just posted it. Infuriated me. I said, if you're going to go out to eat, I don't care where the service was. It wasn't her fault if the food
right.
was an hour late. Waiters are taxed 8% of your meal. Mm-hmm. They're actually paying to wait on it anyway. I did wait tables for a minute, but from the day I got to L.A., I had a lot of lean years. I did a big event at the brand. There's the Villages, which is our GLBT youth sort of center. They're the best idea. They're building 121 apartments on the site of the old unemployment office, which I'll get to in a minute. Building units. What a great idea. for the elderly, gay, and for their, as I said, disenfranchised youth that are behaving themselves. They cannot do sex work. They cannot do drugs. But they and most of these old gay people have never had grandkids. These kids have never had older people, and they're going to all live together. Mm-hmm. It's the most amazing idea. Yeah. And so, but anyway, it was on the, and I told him, I said, listen, that's the old unemployment office. You used to have to show up. You didn't do it by telephone. I've stood in line, a woman in sunglasses and a scarf, Miss Joan Collins, collected her unemployment check.
Get out of here.
I stood in line where a little boy pulled my shirt and said, are you on a TV show called something? And I said, well, I was. It's off the air now. In the unemployment line, he asked for my autograph.
Wow, that's L.A.
Because I was going to say, I can see you always wanting to perform. You did perform as a kid, not in the theater, but for your family.
Well, my mother, I love John Waters' line. His mother always said, quit making a spectacle of yourself. He's made a career out of it. But yeah, I performed.
Yes, he has.
So I can
see
that.
I had identical twin sisters, so I had a backup. My mother said we were probably 4 and 2, and that I said, we put together a show, and mother and daddy said, what? And we pulled out the piano bench and stood on it, and I sang to the top of my lungs, happy trails to you, and made my sisters just stand there. So yeah.
I can see it. Okay, so tonight at the Brick, Leslie's going to be appearing tonight at the Brick, and I just got another message from he's going to be appearing at the Brick. Tickets are, do we know how much? Did we figure that
just
out?
Just show up. You'll get in.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Leslie will just let you in.
They'll work something out.
He expects to be paid, does he care what?
A dollar. A dollar.
Okay, now, there's a poll for the cute go-go dancers at the Brick.
Oh, my God.
And some of the recent guests at the club have been several of RuPaul's Drag Race people.
Oh.
So they've all tried their skills on the poll. Is there something your fans can expect to see you doing at your late show tonight?
Not on the poll.
On the stripper pole.
No, I won't go near the stripper pole.
I'm not sure if she was
listen,
worried
I'm
about
on
the
a
pole
slide
or the
slide into respectability here.
not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I ain't going to be on the strip.
Oh, here it is.
I will say this. When I was in Austin, where we were yesterday, but this was years ago, they took me to, and this is the Splash Weekend in Austin, but they took me to the nude beach. And they said, are you going to get naked, Mr. Jordan? I said, there's enough ugliness in the world.
Aww.
No, many years ago, maybe. No.
Well,